Welcome to Women's Wellness Podcast with Lucy Catino and Nahal Horn, where we are tackling mommy stress one wellness practice at a time. This is a safe space where women can come together and also brave men alike and share our stories. We created this with our love for storytelling and passion for mental health and mind. My aim is always to help women everywhere. These conversations will feel like having a warm cup of coffee or a cup of tea with a friend. Today, I am so super excited to introduce our very special guest, Stacey Mayer. She is a promotion strategist who helps powerhouse women leaders get promoted into senior executive leadership roles on their terms, including executive roles at Fortune 500 companies. Her vision is to bring more diversity to the leadership table by empowering women to take ownership of their careers so that they will have a real voice at the table. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly want to be at this table, and I'm ready to be at this table. So,
yes.
Stacey, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here. We are truly excited. How are you feeling today?
I feel wonderful. Loved that, Lucy, talking about that warm cup of coffee in my living room. I was just like, oh, I just felt it so deeply. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome, because this is what we do here. This is, you know, this is how we want to feel. This is how we want our guests to feel and our listeners to feel. And I'm sure too, what we're going to share today is so valuable. Now, how to create your own opportunities. Please do tell us all about it. And Nahal, are you ready for this?
I am so, honestly, Stacey, it was hard to come up with questions for you, because there's so much that we wanted to know just from your experience and your knowledge and your expertise. But the one that hit home for both of us was like, okay, tell us how you started your own theater company. From the beginning.
Oh my gosh. Oh, back in the day. Well, you know, since we're going there, let's start with eighth grade. So I did a play in eighth grade called Happy Days, the Musical, and I received a standing ovation, and I was like, what is happening? And this woman came up to me afterwards and she was like, you were amazing. You were the only person we could hear.
Wow.
Like, okay. And if you've ever seen a children's production, you can totally relate, right? It's like, you really can't hear them very well. So there's that one person, that voice that stands out simply from being the loudest voice in the room, right? And I was like, oh, okay, then I got this. And so I ended up going to a performing arts school for high school. Yeah. And I always knew I wanted to be an actress and be on stage and be performing. And it was definitely the place that I called home. It was the place that I felt normal. It was the place that I felt like I could express myself and be anybody that I wanted to be in theater, right? On stage. And so I did that for over 20 years. I followed my dreams all over New York City, Chicago, Edinburgh, Los Angeles. Now I'm in the Bay Area. So I've definitely been following this passion and desire to really be myself, express myself to its fullest, right? And but that's how it started.
Okay, just randomly off topic, what's your Myers-Briggs? Because I saw that that's something that you had taught before.
Well, so, you know, what I love about MBTI is that we can, like, you get the Myers-Briggs type, and then you can look it up and you can be like whatever profession that you should be in. And my profession, so I'm an ENFP, which is described as the performer. And of course, I didn't know this at the time, but it's clearly aligned.
That's actually the last time that I took that, I think that was like in college, I was an ENFP too.
Nice. Nice.
Wow. That makes sense. That does make sense, Nahal.
Yeah.
And,
I was actually, I was listening to your episode a couple of episodes ago with like Lucy and Nihal when you guys were talking and going back and forth. And I was like, Nihal, I get her. So there's definitely a camaraderie here. I would totally have you in my living room for coffee anytime.
Oh my, awesome. Okay. Well, we're coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Lucy, what are you? I don't think
we've INFJ. Even INFJ. Oh. I don't think you and I had discussed it, but we it never makes so much sense. Yeah.
It's yes. so fun. You have yeah. to compliment, right? You have to have these absolutely. Compliments.
Yes.
And yes. And we definitely compliment each other, Lucy. Like,
yeah, we do. And we were actually talking about this the last episode we did. We were like, yeah, you know, because we have a lot of the similar like traits and things like that, but we're still very different.
Very,
and
yes.
then it comes together and it's just like the perfect, like what I'm missing, she has, what she's missing, yes. I have. And it's like, wow, it's a perfect marriage.
Yes. So I'm so glad to have you, Stacey, in the mix now, because I feel like we're just going to come away from this conversation with like a lot more knowledge, especially on how you built something from scratch, which I think, we're at a stage where, yes, there is a great resignation going on. There's so many people out there that want more and they want to have their own thing. Mm-hmm. But we're all just kind of at a loss when, like, where do you start first? Are there certain skills you need, certain personality types, certain, like,
so good.
I don't know.
Yeah. Education? So the first thing I want to say is, you know, in terms of Myers-Briggs, I think it's a great segue, actually, is we look at our personality assessments sometimes from the place of what's wrong with us. So you're like, oh, I have these communication challenges, in particular at work, like, right? Like you know, the three of us are so lucky right now. We're all like, we're alike. Mm-hmm. We have to imagine what these women are going through on the daily is just the opposite, right? We're different. I don't fit in here, right? Like, why am I even here? I don't understand. Maybe I should just quit, right? So when we look at Myers-Briggs, and what I always do with my clients is it's one of the first things I do when we start working together, and they're like, well, I took this in college, or I took it 10 years ago, and yeah, I know. And then I'm like, no, but do you really know what makes you so valuable? What makes you so great at what you do? Right? It's like 150%. Before we start fixing ourselves, we have to embrace this side of ourselves. And I think for me, there was that moment when I was little where I was like, you know, I didn't know I was an ENFP, but it's like, I'm an ENFP. I'm a performer. I'm a person on stage and I feel alive. Right. And so luckily when you're little, you can kind of do that. Right. But then you get to working and you're like, I have to fit somebody else's box, somebody else's mold, what they want me to be, because that's how I actually get paid. And for me, in the later half of my life, it's been less about trying to fit into a mold, but how can I bring myself, my own personality, who I am, and put it into your mold? Like, literally, like, look at the corporate structure. How can I thrive in this environment? Right. And so a lot of the work that I'm doing with women is about how do we pull themselves out so that they feel comfortable really truly showing parts of themselves while also understanding that there is this structure, right? Like, there is a mold of sorts, something that we're kind of trying to squeeze into, but unless we can, you know, invent ourselves, like, and almost reinvent ourselves in this new situation. So that's been what the last decade of my life has been about, is just really embracing my weirdness and being cool with that, and being like, you know what? I'm a little loud. I laugh a little too much. My hair is bright red, and I'm going to also coach corporate women how to become senior level executives. Right. That's what I do. So,
I mean, you know what? I feel like everyone does need their own, like, a cheerleader or a coach. Mm-hmm. We live in a society where, you know, it's honestly, this is like the wild, wild west where, you know, in terms of work, in terms of even family structures, like, you used to have like elders who would kind of guide you, where now we actually do need like coaches, and we do need someone kind of in our corner professionally. Mm-hmm. And I want to really ask, so did you have anyone when you were building, whether it's this business or the first one that you started with, your theater company, was there anybody in your corner, or did you just kind of like figure it out as you went along.
Well, you know, the person who's always been in my corner is my mother, and I have incredibly supportive and blessed with really amazing parents. And I just wrote a book this last year, and And the dedication of the book is my mom to, you know, dedicated to my mother, who told me I could do and be anything that I wanted to be in life. Aww. And she was right. Because I think most of my life, I actually thought she was wrong. Because I was what, mom, you can't, you know what? I'm glad you cheerlead me. I'm glad you appreciate me, but I can't, right? Like I can't do this and be myself. And, but like I said, again, in the last 10 years, she was absolutely right. And so it's been this embrace of that and knowing that, wow, she was very wise, and I'm very lucky to have had her on my side.
Wow. Oh my. So you're saying, you know, having a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And or someone in your corner definitely helps
And what I'll say is, when I started my coaching career, I started in women's leadership, and I felt like really inspired by it. So there was a lot of cheerleading happening, right? So inherently, you get a group of women together. We're all going to tell each other that we're really freaking awesome and amazing. Yeah. And go for it and speak up and ask for that raise and put yourself out there. And what I actually really pride myself in now is I really pride myself in being there to catch them as well when they fall, and to really kind of talk about why it's hard for us to speak up, especially when we're not like the rest of the room, and what is really happening, and then kind of embrace that and talk about it so that it doesn't just become this one-sided where we just have to pretend that it doesn't exist. Actually, I spend a lot of time talking about the fact that it does exist, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're going to be in these sort of sometimes incredibly hostile environments, what are we going to do about it? And the strength that comes out of it for these women is it goes from a little bit of cheerleading to like, let's get it done here, women, and let's get ourselves into those positions. Let's get more money. Let's start changing the game from the C-suite out, right? Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how did you transition from like a theater company to C-suite? Like
it feels so different, right? It's like, and then my life today feels like it's like completely the same, right? Because I've redefined it. But at the time, I actually was in New York City as an actress, and I, instead of waiting tables, I got a job at a hedge fund. And this was weird, right? Yeah. So I thought it was the best idea ever because most of my work happened at night and it didn't pay that well. And so I wanted to get paid a lot of money and have a little bit more freedom. So my friends who were waiting tables were exhausted, right? So when we talk about extroversion, it's double extroversion, right? We're on stage all night working late hours, and then we're waiting tables. It's like, excuse me, like it's too much, right? And so I was working this like pretty chill, I mean, I say chill, but it's intense environment at a hedge fund, but chill in the sense that I'm not on my feet and, you know, waitressing. I had a steady income. I had a 401k. I had all of this stability. And then I kind of dug it, right? I was like, this is actually pretty cool. This environment and working with people who weren't actors was really fun, actually. And so I actually transferred to Palo Alto, California with the hedge fund. So they're based in New York, and then they transferred me out to California, and I was like, sure, let's switch it up a bit. And I'm definitely a go with the flow type person. So I came out to California and worked for this hedge fund. And then I got the third piece of my puzzle. So I have a business savvy, a creative side, and then the third piece was spiritual. And I found myself, quote unquote, in the Bay Area, because it's It's an incredibly rich spiritual place to be able to learn meditation, yoga, like all of these spiritual practices.
You know, it's kind of like LA, because that's what I attribute to my like spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
From my time in LA, like all the yoga, all the opportunities to learn about different kinds of spirituality. So yeah, I never really knew San Francisco also had that same reputation, but that is... That's wild. I like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you have all of these things going for you, and then you attribute to spirituality as well. Do you also think, because you had such an openness to take the opportunities, like as they come, like, is that one of your like abilities that you think like most women need to have, is like the ability to see an opportunity and then jump on it? Whereas a lot of people might have like second guessed, should I really be moving? Should I leave the comfort of the familiar place that I live in? Did you ever have those doubts, or were you just like gung-ho, like, okay, this is an opportunity, let me jump on it? Did you have any like dependents or husband or boyfriend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the time for sure, it was just me, right? So that's always a different life at the time. You know, I look at my life now, I have two small children, a husband, a house, right? So it's like, yes. My life is different. But yeah. But certainly this attitude of resourcefulness is a very big driving force in my life. And I always, always, always believe I can figure something out. Probably came from my mom now that I'm saying it out loud. But, you know, yeah. I never feared that you move and you can move back. You can move. And it's like, whatever. I still don't actually spend a ton of time second guessing.
Nice.
I do. Yeah. I'm definitely a leap off the diving board type person. And then knowing that
think
I can
later.
Myself. Yeah.
Yes.
Figure it out.
Like a cat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Land on your feet.
Yep. I always land on my feet, and it's a belief, right? And now I realize that we create our own results in life, as you know, that's this part of the spiritual practice. And I realize that having that belief is part of the reason that I do fall on my feet, right? I believe I always land on my feet, and therefore I do. It's like, it would be hard to argue with me about that one.
I agree with that. That's a great point. Definitely.
It's having like the mindset and that belief that you know, is like your inner compass, and that kind of guides you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was just going to offer that for a lot of the women, I think it feels like, especially you can sort of say, well, you know, I do have children now, or I do have this responsibility. And most of the women that I work with are the sole breadwinners, because they've always been very ambitious. They tend to make more money than their spouses. And so there's this added level of responsibility that they feel. But I often remind them of the power that they do have, right? Taking another role at another company, you know, stepping into this promotion, right? It's never the end. It's always just the beginning. It's a new turn for them, and they'll always be able to land on their feet. And I think it's really important reminder for that. We all have that ability for sure.
I love that.
I love that we all do have the ability. We just need to remind ourselves, or have somebody like you to remind us.
Exactly. I will remind you every day. And then I'll also show you, right? Like, I'll be like, okay, how, what is it? What is our backup plan? What is our other scenarios? What are the worst case, right? And so once you can really do that work, that worst case, and what's the worst thing they can say kind of stuff, then you realize you're like, oh, I'm not afraid of the worst case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Love that. Like, you know, unpacking that fear. And then once you see the fear in broad daylight, it doesn't have the power over you anymore.
Yeah.
I love that. Sure. Let's see. Is there any kind of like, if you could tell anything to your old self from the stuff that like, from all the experience and knowledge you have now, what are like two things that you would tell yourself?
It just makes me laugh, because I feel like a broken record sometimes with my mom, but I'm just like, you know, I would totally tell myself to listen to my mom, you know, and so from the other side of that is when you have somebody that sees your potential, right? So, you know, you all have that person who's just like, seriously, you are amazing, right? And I'm sure the two of you are like that for each other. And why do we argue? Why do we argue with that? Like, I do this stupid game where I'm like, no, but you don't really know. It's sort of like, well, that's just an Instagram persona. That's not who I really am. What I really
oh
am.
Oh my goodness. Next, yes. Right? And it's like an internal battle.
Why?
Like, it's a war going on in there. I tell you, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I say, like, believe my mom, when she's like, no, seriously, you're amazing. You can do and be anything you want. What if I just said, cool.
Exactly. And what's wrong with that? I think too, what's amazing happened to us is, like, somewhere along the line, someone told us to, you know, or someone has said to us, you think you're too much, mm-hmm, or you think you're like, yeah, oh, you just calm down, humble yourself. Like, I've heard that so much in my journey, right, that I'm like, wait a minute. So even, like, taking compliments is super uncomfortable, mm-hmm, because, yeah, I'm not supposed to say, well, thank you, you know, but we always say, oh, but you, oh, this dress, I've had this dress for years. Oh, this, yeah, old thing, like, oh, my hair. Oh, yeah, I'm having such a bad hair day. Like, you, right, know, just things like that. We have such a hard time just accepting compliments.
So listen to this. So listen to this. And I mean, I totally, like, you said, what's that about? Okay, that's a whole nother story. But I just want to share this one with you. This is what I tell the women. So I call my work Women's Leadership 2.0. So in women's leadership, we would be like, you know, what's that about? You need to accept compliments. And when somebody says that you did a good job on this project, just say thank you, right? Mm-hmm. And then I say, yeah, I add this other twist, and I really believe you guys are going to love this. So I say thank you, and then ask them for something. Okay. Oh, so, like, okay. So, like
what?
Well, like, so an example of this is, so I had a woman who everybody was like, you should apply for this job. You should apply for this job. And so first of all, the first thing is get, you know, just say, okay, versus no, I don't know if I'm ready. Right. So we're going to do that. We're just going to say yes or thank you. Right. And mm-hmm, so then I encouraged her to say, why? Why should I apply for this job? And so then they're like, oh, okay. Well, you should apply for it because you have this quality, you know, this person, you'll be able to do this. And so then now what she's done is, not only does she have her own business case for actually getting the job, but she's planted the seed in the other person of her amazingness and her qualifications for this job. And so I always do this, and maybe it's from my improv too, where it's yes and. So you say, mm-hmm, thank you and, mm-hmm, right? And so it's like, let's take the compliment for sure. Uh-huh. But now we've opened this door to another opportunity for adding. So it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what other roles could I do like this? Or if somebody gives you a compliment and you're like, oh, thank you. And is there anybody else that I should be meeting with?
Wow.
Right.
So wow,
we're upping the game here. This is
game changer.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to remember changer. This.
I yeah. actually wrote this note down.
Yeah. I know. I'm taking
Take
notes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah. goodness. That is so wise. I'm going to practice that this week. So that's
yeah,
our homework.
I am too. Lucy. I'm going to be really intentional about just no matter what the circumstances.
And what's it rooted in? It's rooted in believing them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
that, like yeah. what, you know, what my mom said, like, if I really believed her, maybe mm-hmm. I could have asked, like, why do you think that I'll actually be successful at this? And then she could have given me proof, right? And it's just reinforces right. the belief in myself and just like, oh, you know what? She actually is right, right? So, and obviously from a negotiation standpoint, it works on so many levels for women. So it's
oh, yeah.
just incredibly
this
powerful.
Is a good one. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love that.
Good pointer. Yep.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more, like, how can someone get in touch with you? How can they work with you? Because I know a lot of people on the call are like, or listening are like, okay, so how do I get more of Stacey?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I love it so much. So the best thing to do, because if your listeners are listening, they're probably podcast listeners. So mm-hmm. definitely check out my podcast, which is Maximize Your Career with Stacey Mayer. And mm-hmm. I also have my book that came out this year. So it's called Promotions Made Easy, a step-by-step guide to the executive suite. Check that out. Ooh. It gives all of the tools that I have mentioned here, and it works for women at any stage of their development, their career development.
So even from the very start, like if there's
anyone
in college, awesome.
Yeah, because it's telling you the pitfalls that as what, you know, in the corporate world, like as an individual contributor, right? So even before you move into leadership, you there are pitfalls that people will start to do. And my book sort of shows you how to preempt them. So even if you're moving into leadership or thinking about it, you're going to start setting yourself up. That foundation will be there for you so that as you grow your career, you're building it off of a really solid place.
Nice.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's great. That's like, you know, having the start of the house that you're building, mm-hmm. the career that you're building, starting off like a really solid structure.
Yeah, totally. So we're not getting into that place of being like, I quit, I'm out of here, I have nothing left, right? You know, we're building that. And then a big part of the work that I do is also ownership. And I look at the corporate career as being very similar in a lot of ways to entrepreneurship, so that if you really own your career, you can start to navigate things even from the beginning. It's easier to do right out of college because you totally feel like you own your career. But 10 mm-hmm. years later, you start to feel like somebody else does. And this reignites that ownership so that we're actually actively making choices about what we're doing every single day.
Wow.
I love it. Well,
amazing. Let's do it, ladies. Come on.
Yes. Let's all do it.
Yeah.
This has been really enlightening and just so, so full of inspiration. And I feel like, you know, it's just the jolt that I needed. And I know, Nahal, I'm sure you feel the same way. So again, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Stacey. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And to my listeners, we appreciate you for being here. We're sending you all so, so much love. Please join us on our Instagram page, luce.inspiration. We always love to hear from you. Send us a message. We also add your voice memos on here. And tell us how we're doing. The feedback is always appreciated. I know we've been getting a lot of messages lately from women from around the world. I see mm-hmm. you, I see you, I see you, and I so, so appreciate you. Nahal and I are so grateful for all our beautiful listeners and guests. Until the next time, be well.
Be well. Love.